Our message is entitled this morning as we come from having been at the Lord's table, having sung "All to Jesus I Surrender." We come to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. And I would ask for you to realize that this is what I would call revolutionary material. This is countercultural literature that the Apostle Paul is writing. This is something that is, yes, as revolution, more revolutionary than all those different revolutionary writings of the past. This is something that still is so amazingly different than our culture today, even the Christian culture. This letter is counterculture literature. So when we come to it, I hope you would be somewhat shocked and challenged in your thinking. I believe this is one of the most important verses, verse 21, for our daily living. How can we possibly live together? There are people here that probably irk you over there, and there's some irking people over here, and yet, how in the world can we live together? And I believe this, in the context of being filled with the Spirit of God, being controlled by the very Word of Christ, speaks to us for our daily lives and how we all need the very wisdom of God. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of that wisdom. So we read from here, verse 21, submit to one another, or really it's submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. But I would like to shock you with something right now. Follow with me your Bibles. Some of you have heard some of these verses many times. We won't read through all of them. Maybe some of the wives have said, I've heard this 195 times. Wives, be in submission to your husbands. Certainly, it's interesting here and important. That is what it teaches. But the verse 22 does not have, in the original language, the word submit. It borrows it from verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit, borrowed from verse 21, to your husbands as to the Lord. Then come down to verse 25, husbands. I believe we should also bring that, and some would be a little bit shocked with this. Husbands, submit to love your wives. There's a certain kind of submission that is required. Just as Christ submitted to give his life for his church, there is a certain submission that husbands are to have in loving their wives. And then children, submit to obey your parents in the Lord. Or fathers, there's a sense in which they, parents, are to submit in not exasperating their children. Or slaves or bond servants, probably is a better translation. Submit in obeying your earthly masters. Or even further down, and masters, submit in treating your bondservants, your employees, in that very special way that they are to not be threatening them, and to know that we all have a master in heaven. Now, this is, in one sense, a bit revolutionary, because we usually put all the emphasis upon wives. Hear the word of the Lord. But I want you to remember that word is actually borrowed. It's there, borrowed from verse 21, but it should also be borrowed for those other verses all the way along, because the passage is saying to us, submit one to another. There's a siren call from this world that says, obey the word of the experts. Obey the word of the professionals. But the word of God is where we must begin. And I believe our text is very important, because as Jesus speaks, the wise man builds his house upon the rock, and that will stand. submitting one to another is something so important for our daily living that without it, we fall to pieces in society, in the government, in nations. We fall to pieces in reality, even in the churches of Jesus Christ and in our families. So this is of great importance, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let's bow in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, we do ask that you would give us just that sense of your presence even now, that we may not hear the word of men, but O God, that even the words I speak would be those words of the Lord Jesus Christ that would be for us. Give us ears to hear for our daily living. Give us ears to hear for how we would live with one another with respect and humility and honor one another in submission to one another. O Lord, work in our hearts. We pray, Lord, for your blessing upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. With our little bit of time that we have, I would ask that you would follow just these three W's. Very simple. You don't really have to even write it all down. It's all before us with this little verse of Scripture that's so essential, important for our daily living. And that is, who are we to reverence? Can we capture who He is? And then with that, to whom are we to submit? And then when? So as we look at this who, or maybe better said, why, in a sense, we speak of Him as the one to whom we are to give reverence. The older manuscripts don't have God, but they have to have reverence for Christ. And certainly here, there's a recognition of God. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is recognized as the one who is God. We have those Old Testament passages of Scripture where He is the one who is Kurios in the New Testament, and they are quoting Old Testament passages as the one who is God. That one that was to come, that one that we have from Malachi chapter 3, He is the one who was to come, and there was to be one who would come before Him. John the Baptist recognized in the New Testament, and the one he was to prepare the way for was to be the Lord. He was the one who was suddenly to arrive to His temple. John the Baptist prepared the way for the Lord Jesus Christ, and Malachi is referring to the angel of His presence, the one who is God Himself, His own temple. He was to come with preparation for His coming, Jesus. And it's interesting, as you go through these passages of the Old Testament, they are applying them to the Lord. You remember how the Apostle Paul, on different occasions, he talks of to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And what he's quoting is from the Old Testament that has, as we know in the Old Testament, when it has capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, it's really translating what is God's actual name. The four letters of God's name, the Yahweh, His actual personal name, the I Am of the Old Testament. And the New Testament takes those very passages and applies them directly to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. This one who is God, Yahweh, the Lord in the Old Testament is identified in the New Testament with Jesus. That is that which we have before us over and over again. The passage to give you two passages that line up very quickly, Joel 2:32, lines up various times of Acts 2:21, where that Lord is Jesus. Our whole passage, though, this verse, is very important. And I would have you notice that when we are to, as we have before us here, to reverence Christ, and therefore we are to submit one to another, it really comes to us as a commandment. And I say that to you because what we have is, remember how I've emphasized, be filled with the Spirit, a commandment. But then follows what we call five participles. And every one of them is connected to that commandment. They are commands. That is, if you look at the passage with carefulness, look there in the passage up above verse 21, we are to be speaking, singing, making melody, giving thanks, and submitting to one another. That's being filled with the Spirit. All of these things are, in that sense, commandments. Those who are filled with the Spirit are those who are, yes, speaking one to another with these hymns. They are to be singing. They are to be making melody. They are to be giving thanks. And part of being filled with the Spirit is submitting to one another. Commandments. Someone that has a hostile attitude or a neutral attitude to these commandments is not filled with the Spirit. We come confessing our sins as we somehow or another feel we don't want to really submit to one another. Or maybe those people over there, but not those over here. Christ calls us in a commandment way to be submitting to one another. It's very clear in our text. And notice this word reverence. It is the same background as that word we have in English of phobia, or someone who would have a fear. But with this context, it has to do with affection, humility. It has to do with being willing to submit. There's a reverence here that we have for Christ that causes us to be submitting to one another. Why do we submit? Because we have this reverence for Christ as our Lord and Savior. The second W is there, to whom are we to be submissive? Now, certainly, if you have that beautiful picture that we often refer to of there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 of the body, how there are all those different members of the body, and how one member can be an arm, and it certainly can't say, I don't need the eye. You know, the eye obviously is very important, and it can look right and see these things, but the eye also needs the arm, the hand. In fact, the hand also needs the eye. There's a beauty to that whole passage that's just amazing as he has that. In fact, turn there to have that at least before you, that 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am a hand, I love reading this. It's just almost so vivid to us because, you know, everybody knows how the body works. We work with it all the time. And, you know, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. It would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Or on the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Isn't this amazing picture, this reality that we all live with? How important every part of the body, every member is there. And so what is Paul talking to us about? He's very specific here in this passage that it has to do, yes, taking from verse 21, that wives are to be in submission to their husbands. But husbands, in submission to their wives by loving them as Christ has loved his church and gave himself for his church. And yes, children, to be in submission to their parents, honoring them. Yes, obeying them. And yes, even moms and dads, a sense of being in submission to their children as they get up during the night, as they work hard at teaching their children, as they nurture and train them, they're giving themselves, submitting themselves to their children. Those who are, yes, employees, that they're not just doing it when he's watching. But there's a, as Christians, a submission to their bosses. Yes, and even those who have that place of authority, they are to be in submission because we all have one master in heaven. This is something that speaks to us with great importance. Now, maybe it sounds rather revolutionary to you, because it is. The world doesn't function like this. And Christians drift into the ways of the world. We heard this past week a little bit about old John Calvin, how he was pretty revolutionary in emphasizing our need to show love and care and compassion for those who are needy. There were thousands and thousands of immigrants arriving into Geneva from all over Europe. How were they to deal with these people? Calvin had some very strong words on how they were to care for them. But I found that in this very passage, Calvin speaks to fathers how they are to be subject to their children. Husbands to be subject to their wives, magistrates to the people over which they are to govern, elders to their congregation. Revolutionary stuff. It's countercultural. Calvin wrote, but if we examine all things well, we shall find that St. Paul has not without reason put all Christians under this subjection. There's checks and balances. Fathers, most honored, must be honored by their children. Yet, there's a nevertheless. Calvin speaks of how they must submit to govern them and teach them so not to exasperate them. Again, Calvin writes about husbands and says, for is it not a subjection that the husband supports the frailty of his wife and is prudent enough not to use vigor toward her, holding her as his companion and taking upon him a part of her burden, both in sickness and in health? And he says, doing that willingly. This is revolutionary. The culture of that time, it was like the man could say, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. And he had his way. God's word is contrary to the whole culture of the world we live in. Children, how is it we can somehow or another think of how important it is for them to be in submission to their parents? But likewise, parents, there's a submission that we have to them of caring for them. Yes, giving ourselves to them. All of us as parents have a little church that we are to pastor and nurture and train and teach and care for. There is a giving of ourselves. And there's no part that somehow or another we can arrive to the place, even whether it's parents that they can arrive, that we don't need our children, or children who can say, yeah, our parents are old now. They're not the future at all. We're not in a place to be in submission or honor in any way to them. Obviously, there's differences, changes in life, but there's still this place of how we are to be in submission to one another and care for one another, even when there's some people that might seem to us really kind of strange, or others that are irksome to us and we don't feel comfortable. God's word speaks to us very clearly that we are to be in submission to one another. Jesus spoke with clarity. Turn with me in your Bible and note these passages. It's good for us to hear these words of God speaking to us right now today. Matthew 18. There the Lord Christ speaks. And I think we often have that problem among us that we think, well, who is the greatest among us? And Matthew 18, we read, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Turn over what we'll look at in just a couple of weeks. John chapter 13. How did Jesus answer that question? Who is the greatest among us? He stripped himself down as a servant and he went one by one and washed the disciples' feet in John 13. He gave him himself. He submitted himself there to each one of them, giving of himself as a servant to them. Or we ask the question, you can turn forward a little ways to Romans chapter 12. And I tried to pick out these few verses that you would have these noted down. Romans 12, verse 10. What often happens is somehow or another there's a competition almost. In Romans 12, 10, we read, how verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. And then notice these words. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. May God give us that spirit of honoring others above ourselves. And then one from the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. There we read familiar words. Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. And then 1 Peter chapter 5, the Apostle Peter, I think, battled with these things. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Certainly, these things, I do believe, are countercultural literature. That is, the whole of this is revolutionary. The congregation, in a very wonderful way, is called upon to submit to those men who have lived their lives before them in the past, and also those who in the present. Turn back just a few pages in your scriptures from 1 Peter to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. And we have those old past leaders, those old fellows and others that are spoken of in Hebrews 13:7. There, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And then the present leaders are spoken of in verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. So there, the congregation to the elders, but at the same time, the other side of that is the elders are to be in submission to the congregation, hearing them, being under, in a sense, their watchful care also. There is a beauty to being in submission one to another that the scriptures teach. Now, just a very quick word. When we've come to the Lord's table, we've sung, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. Coming to the Lord's table is like a renewal of our covenant with him. In fact, the scripture tells us that we are to confess our sins, yes, and to, yes, make things right with others before we come to offer this vow renewal to him. There's a preparation for coming to this table. We are to make those things right. It's a time, as we were led in prayer, to confess our sins, to renew our covenantal relationship, to remember. Do this in remembrance of me, what he has done. Sin is still real to us. We're no longer under the dominion. We're no longer addicted to sin. We are free from those addictions. In Christ, we go forward, but there's still remaining sin, vestiges of that which is still within us. We still do battle with those things. We still have to repent. We need help from others. We are those who are to be in submission, mutual submission. And our submission is never unlimited. We are never to be in submission to someone else to sin, or to hurt others, or to humiliate others. There is to be this submission one to another in the Lord that is beautiful and called as a commandment for us. We are never, never, never to disobey the Lord in our submission one to another. It's an improper use of authority whenever that comes into play. Husbands are to submit to their wives in loving them as Christ has loved the church and given himself for the church. What is a husband to be doing? He's to be making his wife beautiful. In fact, it has the expression to be glorious and radiant. And that's what Christ has done to his church. There is a giving ourselves to loving our wives in that special way. Yes, we are to be those who are with different ways of submission, but each one has that obligation to submit where God has placed him. We have a great deal of need in our day, I believe, for children to be taught to show respect for their parents, to show respect for others, adults, and others around them, that they would have that respect taught to them right from the very beginning, that they hear the voice, that they know who they are, that they respect others. But also, as parents, we hear that voice of our children and we don't ignore them. We hear them. We pay attention to them. We show love to them. In that sense, we're in submission to them because their needs are important. And we deal with them where they are with all the seriousness of showing them how they need to obey God's truth and His word and show that submission. When are we to do this? We have renewed our relationship this very morning with the Lord. We have come and been filled with His Spirit in obeying and hearing the voice of the Lord. We are not to be those who are assertive, not to be those who are lording it over others, not to be brash, but there's to be a gentleness, a reverence for Christ in all that we are and do. It's not a once for all, took care of that. It'd be kind of nice if you could push a button and I took care of that. Boom. Done. Take care of that. From now on, won't have any more problems. I'm in submissive my life, and everything is submissive to everyone around me, but especially with reverence for Christ. Push the button, sign the... It's done. Doesn't work that way. Some of the people I've talked with, they think of, oh, when I've been in the Lord many, many years, it's all going to be real easy. Pride is already entering in. Growing, growing, growing. In fact, it may have some pretty deep roots when you're 60 years in the Lord or so. There is a need for us all to examine ourselves. How are we submitting to one another right now? Is there a reverence for Christ? Therefore, I'm submitting to my brothers and sisters, submitting in whatever place God has called me, that I know what it is to submit in the way God has called me to submit. As I've been to the table, as I've tasted the bread and the cup, and as I have been seeing His submission to give Himself, even to submit to the cross, death on a cross, my shame, taking my blame. Am I not to be one who would submit to others to show them Christ? Whether it's my children, my wife, those employees that may be under me, whatever position God has placed me in, I am to show them Christ with that submission. Right now, may God's Holy Spirit fill us in such a way that we will have daily living with that. Let's pray together. O Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You for Your submission on our behalf, on the cross, the wonder and all, the shame, the blame, the guilt, the sins, all You submitted to it all. And to hear that cry, my God, why have You forsaken me? That You submitted Yourself even to be abandoned on the cross. Lord, I need to learn that submission. I pray, O God, that You would not only forgive me, but forgive us, Lord, as a congregation, when we have failed to submit to one another with reverence with humility, with affection, with love. Help us, O Lord, to know what it is to have seen Christ and His submission on the cross. And You'd give to us something of that submissive heart and life to those around us. And that Jesus Christ may be seen in such a way in this place that people will believe on Him and be saved. For we pray in His name. Amen.